Greetings of love to one and all this morning. It is indeed a blessing to be able to worship in the house of the Lord. This morning I invite your attention to Titus. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What do you think about this morning when you think of the word doctrine? What is it that comes, what is the visual that you have of your mind when you think of doctrine? Verse 10, the last part, says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So doctrine is an important part of the Scripture. It is in the tenor of the Scripture. As a young boy, I remember there were those that, I remember the comment that they would say, well, he's a doctrinal preacher. And generally, if you were a doctrinal preacher, you tended to be a little dry. Because a lot of times you would deal with heavy things as far as the basics of Scripture. But what is doctrine this morning? What do you think of doctrine? A doctrine is a particular principle, position, or policy taught or advocated. Christianity is founded on the significance of Jesus Christ. We believe that this morning. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what the Christian faith is founded and based upon. The sayings of the Bible, that of what I hope that we all have one on our lap this morning, the sayings of the Scripture, what is printed in its pages, are the doctrines of our Lord. Now, just everything in the Bible that may not necessarily be a doctrine. You know, we talk, okay, for instance, I just said that the death and resurrection of Jesus is what our Christian faith is founded upon. And that's what the Scripture, the doctrines of the Scripture are point to that and based on. But there is really no doctrine to be based upon that Jesus died. He was 33 years old. And he was of full age. Follow where I'm going with that? But his death being a perfect sacrifice, the begotten Son of God, pure. That is what the doctrine is based upon. The right keeping of the teachings of the Word of God depend upon the right understanding of the Word. The right keeping of the teachings of the Word of God depend on the right understanding of the Word. I remember well men of my youth that I can remember clearly, men of few words. But you knew exactly what they believed, you understood what they believed, and you were impressed of what they believed because their life gave manifestation of what they believed. But I can also tell you of men that I remember well, that they could flow smooth, and they could out-argue anybody in the whole church if you wanted to call that. But was their doctrine true? See our life. The song that we sung this morning, at the third song we sung this morning, Johnny had no idea what I was preaching about this morning. So let our lives and lips express the holy gospel we profess. So let our walks in virtue shine. to prove the doctrine all divine. Do you follow where I'm going with that this morning? So we need to know truth. We also need, in order to keep the right truth, we need to understand and live the right truth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." Take heed. It is within every one of us this morning to fall. It is born within man to gravitate toward the lower elements of life. Take heed, continue in them. Christian doctrine involves the commandments, the teachings, standards and principles essential to saving faith and a victorious life. That's what we're talking about this morning. So, if Christian doctrine involves the commandments, teachings, standards and principles essential to saving faith, then we can say just about the whole Bible is doctrine, can't we? Doctrine is truth. Doctrine is that which helps us to live right. By God's help this morning, we as Christian believers, we need to live as close to the Scripture as we know how. Because the closer that we live to this book, to the inspired Word of God, I believe, the greater the blessing upon our life. Because the closer that we live to the way God would desire us, our relationship with Christ can be greater. It is just that simple. See, this morning, I can talk doctrine. I can tell you how to do, how to live. But if I leave the church driveway, and the neighbor man up here at the corner sees me act, well, you know, let's say when I turn out here on Swanson River Road and the people in Sterling can hear me leave. You suppose that he thinks in his heart, that's a good man. Or I can boldly say that husbands love your wives, wives submit to your own husbands. But yet if I stand in front of the judge and he declares a divorcement, what do you think everybody's going to think of that? Our lives and lips express exactly what we live. There is that saying that talk is cheap because the supply outweighs demand. That may be true. But our lives this morning give evidence of what we believe. And so saying, I would like to read the first 10 verses of Titus 2. Shall we read? "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. They may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, as I studied this scripture, and I'm going to be honest with you, I had a discussion with a dear brother some time ago about this scripture. And he was just telling me, he said, if you study Titus 2, he said, look at it in the sense that the last part of verse 10 should actually go behind every one of the aged men, the aged women, the young women, and the young men. All categories of life. Whether you're aged, whether you're young, whether you're a servant, whether you are married, whether you are single. Our lives should be that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And I don't think that's taking things out of context at all. That is our goal. That should be our desire this morning. The name of God would be exalted in our lives. So, verse 2, that the aged men be sober. I find that interesting. That word sober there means not given to wine. Not given to wine. Proverbs 20 verse 1 does say that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is defiled thereby is not wise. So, older men this morning are not to love wine, are not to love strong drink. They are to be grave. What does it mean to be grave? My understanding of what I studied, it means to be honest. It means to be serious. An aged man are supposed to be temperate. What does it mean to be temperate? It means to be of sound mind. Discreet, self-controlled, prudent. What makes us to be aged men and aged women this morning? When you think of the thought of aged men and aged men and aged women, what class is the scripture talking about this morning? And I tried to find that. If there was a certain age group that this was particular speaking about, and I could not find that. I thought maybe there was a cultural thing, and there may be, but I could not find it. But I will say this morning. That thought of being aged depends on what age you're at. If you're one of the three little boys here sitting in the front bench this morning, who they consider to be aged is going to be totally different than if I ask the people that are about six or seven benches back of who aged is. There is always, no, I shouldn't say always, but generally there are always younger ones below you. If you are of a sound and reasonable mind that you can comprehend and do things, there are people that are younger than you. So what I am trying to say this morning is, I believe that when we speak of aged men and aged women, that none of us should close our ears and say it's for the other person. Because there are those that will consider you, even if you're only 29 years old. There are people here this morning that think you're old. The aged men are to be sound in faith. What does it mean to be sound this morning? If we are sound this morning, it means that we are uncorrupt and that we are true. The scripture here in Titus begins with aged men. I believe that is for a reason. This morning, we desire godly homes. We desire godly churches. If we have a godly church, then we will be a salt and a light to the world about. And so, if we are going to have godly homes this morning, it is going to start with Dad. And I happen to be a dad also. It starts with us. So we are to be sober, we are to be grave, and we are to be temperate. It depicts a life that is given to moderation, a life that is given that is not radical in senses that we delve off into things that are not good. And then it says that we are to be sound in faith. Faith is that the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is in Hebrews. Trust, fidelity. Evidence rests upon faith this morning. Regardless, when I say this statement, I am not necessarily talking about religion, but we cannot go through life without faith this morning. Faith is an integral part of life this morning. There are things that I have never seen with my own eye. But yet I believe without a shadow of a doubt that it is because I have been told, it is because I have read, and I have faith in what those people have told me that it is true and accurate. And so I have faith. But the scripture here says that aged men are to be sound in faith. There are things that come into life that I believe that as fathers this morning, those that are of any extended age, there are things that we must make judgment on this morning. And that judgment of what we make of is going to be based upon, one, I believe, is if our faith in God, our faith is sound. There are some things in life that we may not totally understand. But I believe that being sound in faith, that of a confidence, a fixation upon God our Savior, carries us through as a principle, as a doctrine, as that which we know is true, that will help us. And that if we follow that line, it will adorn the doctrine of our Savior. Sound in faith. The next one it says in charity. We are to be, the aged men are to be sound in charity. To be sound in charity, this here is an agape love, divine love, is what it's speaking of. This agape love is far more important, I believe, than gifts. Because at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. That love that comes from God, sound in that. There are many things that desire to have our affection this morning. What has our affection? Is it that boat? Yeah. Is it our work? Is it our truck that doesn't have a scratch? Or is it the 13th sweater that I bought? Well, I guess aged men don't have sweaters, so I guess I was a little out of context on that one. You follow what I'm saying, though? What has our affection? Sound in charity. You know, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, suffereth long, is kind, thinketh no evil. That is love in action. And we as aged men this morning, we should be sound in our actions of love. We are also to be sound in patience. And I meditated on that. To be sound in faith, I understand that. To be sound in love, in charity, in that love of God, the divine love of which we aspire to, I understand that. But then it says that aged men are to be sound in patience. Generally, a person, as he becomes older, becomes more mellow. That's our general thought, as a rule. That the older that a person gets, the more mellow he becomes. I'm just saying some of the musings of my thoughts here this morning. But here it says that he is sound in patience. He bears long. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. That is what I think of when I think of patience. Not fretting, resting, and waiting. How do we fare at that this morning? Are we of the nature that if we are an aged man this morning, there are a few things in life that we have figured out. One of the things in life that we have figured out is that age brings respect. I'm talking here, I'm just trying to think as outside of the box where we're not always think straight. So if a man has a little age, he thinks that he should have a little respect. He also has figured out that men, those younger than him, if he has their respect with a little bit of say, things will happen to what I say. Things go, you know, I say jump, they jump here. And I say over there, move a little faster, and they move. Follow that train of thought. Sound in patience. Do we use things to our advantage? Do we do things that are God-honoring? Or are we this morning doing things for our own carnal ambitions? What motivates us this morning? Aged men. That's all of us here. Probably from about, I'm going to say about the fourth bench and on back. We would all fit into that category. Rest. Wait. And fret not. See, we live in a culture today That you don't, everything is spontaneous, everything is instant, and it's now. We wait for no one. And I definitely don't fit into this, but you know, you know this from experience, but you know, whenever you text somebody, if you don't reply within 2 minutes, you know, he's either angry or, you know, something's wrong. Well, I guess Marvin'd be mad all the time because he doesn't always text back right away, but that is the mindset, though, that we have today, that if it's not just boom, 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 yet the Lord tells us to be sound in patience. You take this little verse, too, and us men, if we take that verse, it's not that long. But I guess the more that I meditated on it, there is an abundance of things in that verse that if we live out, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we can adorn the doctrine of our Lord. Very simple. I don't think it's complex, but it is very thorough. I think it will have a direct bearing upon our lives. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Living a holy life, what all does that entail? You know, if we read from 1 Peter 3, probably sums that up as well as I can try to explain it this morning. 1 Peter 3, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid of the amazement. Living holy this morning, sisters, is not something that you hang on the outside. If you read chapter 3 here of 1 Peter and you look at that, be won by the conversation. That means conduct, manner of life. While they behold your chaste conversation, thinking of that conduct again, chaste there means pure and clean. A clean and pure walk, coupled with a godly fear. I believe that that holy living, as becometh holiness, that particular walk has been perfected by the chastisement of God. It has been nurtured by the love for God and the desire for holy living. Not false accusers. Not given too much wine. Teachers of good things. But you look over here in Titus chapter 1, and the qualifications for a minister says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So you look at that verse, that he may be able by sound doctrine. I read in 1 Peter 3 that the women are to, by their chaste conversation, their conduct of life, both sides of the house, is where I'm going with that. When we talk this morning of behavior as becometh holiness, men and women both, we all, both sides of the house, our lives must be that. A meek and quiet spirit. What do you think of when you think of a meek and quiet spirit? How often, I'm going to be honest, when I think of a meek and quiet spirit, I think of a lamb. That picture of a snow white lamb is a picture that I get. And I, when that was born into my mind, I don't know. But that is often what I think of when I think of a meek and quiet spirit. But if you're a meek person, one thought that I came up with as I thought of a meek and quiet spirit. A meek spirit does not in any way try to provoke, be provoked by others. So if you have a meek spirit, you are not provoked. If you have a quiet spirit, you don't provoke others. Follow that? If you have a meek spirit, you are not provoked by others by what they do to you. If you have a quiet spirit, then you don't provoke others by your conduct. False accusers, not slanderers. You read the scripture in John 6, verse 70 says, Jesus answered, and it's Jesus speaking there, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? That word devil is the same word as his false accusers. I thought that was interesting. That sounds pretty bold. But we are not to be slanderers, not given too much wine. That same thing here again, that the Greek word is not given to wine. That's what that means. The root word of that, not given to wine. Teachers of good things. And the aged women are to teach the younger women. In verse 2, it says nothing about men teaching younger men. Here it says aged women to teach younger women. Well, why is that? Men and women are made up differently. That I know. Us men, we aspire to understand things and to master on our own. Women are not offended, are not, it is their nature to love help from others. That is their nature. A relationship, more of talking and corresponding and having a relationship one with another. That's what ladies love. Men have far less close friends than women. You can read statistics. It's a proven fact that women have many more close friends than men. There are many men in this world that do not have one close friend. That's a proven fact. It's sad, but that's the way it is. ever since Eve. I believe that women have been teaching those coming behind. If you want to say that, simple things of gardening, of living, just of how to live. But to be a teacher, what is that? Well, I don't know if you know it, but even if you are trying or if you are trying or if you're not trying, you are teaching someone this morning. You could be in the front row. I haven't been watching you this morning, but I'm just going ahead. You know, you can sit in the front row. You can listen. And there'll be other little girls in the back of you that'll be watching you. And you're teaching them. You can also be one that can sit with a long face. You are teaching someone. That's for everyone. That I'm just saying. I'm just using that as illustrations. So you are teachers if you are doing it subconsciously or not subconsciously. A mentor is a wise or trusted teacher or a counselor. A mentor sometimes will teach in a formative way, or there may be informal ways. But when I think of aged women teaching here this morning, I get a picture of passing on. It takes two to do that. An aged woman. My wife talks of when she was young, when we were young married, at church when she sat on a bench. She sat with three old women or older women. One would have been my mother. One would have been Katie Mast, and one would have been Dorothy Stahl. That was the three women and my wife. Dorothy Enos is what we call her. She would have been many times the one that sat by my wife. But simple things that she would have told my wife of things in life. One time my wife told Dorothy, she said, "Well, is there really any use for me to come to the sister sewing?" It was when our children were young, you know, and it seemed like Pam thought that all she did was run after the little chaps. Oh, Dorothy Zena said, "Well, don't you worry about that, Pam. You come to the sewing. You enjoy the day. Take care of your children. Do what you can while you're there. And there will be a blessing." That was a passing on of aged women, is what I'm trying to say. That's just an illustration. It can be the simple thing of, if you are a young mother here this morning and you may not, well, how do I do this? It could be the day that when you want to can pickles, and you know, you pour the vinegar out and there's a scum on top of the vinegar, and you have never seen that before in your life. What is that scum from that vinegar? Is that good or is it bad? Nobody's ever told me what that was before. I wonder if it's fit to use. Well, then you know, simple things like that. That's what I'm saying. Aged women, teachers of good things. But in order to be a good teacher, then you must live verse 4 and 5. You have to be sober. You need to love your husband. You need to love your children. You need to be discreet. You need to be a keeper at home. I believe that is one of the things that the aged women will need to be in order to try to teach, to be a good teacher. You must live verse 4 and 5 first. You take Anna the prophetess, in that is in Luke, where it, she was a widow for 84 years, I think it was. The scripture would say that she was a widow for 84 years. And she went to the temple every day. She was there when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple. And it says that she gave thanks to God and spake of Him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You take Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, which was Mary. Cousin. Elizabeth was aged, older. And when Mary was with child of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, she was told that Elizabeth is with child also. And so Mary went to Elizabeth, and Mary was there for 3 months. I believe that Elizabeth was a mentor or a teacher to Mary. Because when Mary came in the presence of Elizabeth, it says that the child leaped for joy within her womb. And Mary then gave that beautiful declaration of what God had done for her and what it would mean to her. You can read that in Luke, the first chapter. Second Peter 1, I believe that if you want to be a good teacher, if you want to be received, if you want your counsel to be taken, if you want the younger to want to that take your advice or take being a mentor, in 2 Peter 1, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity." Now, I don't know, but I guess in my mind, that would be gifts wrapped in beautiful paper. And verse 4, I believe, verse 8 then, I believe will be a reward of yours if you do those other. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that will be a beautiful thing. And your lives will not be in vain, because it will be carefully wrapped by God's instructions, if you want to say it in those terms. I think I'm going to close at that this morning. I know that I only hit two parts, and there's three more to go, but I'm not going to get finished. And I think I'm just going to close with that. My prayer is that we would live our lives, us aged men and us aged women, that we would adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the Word. Thank you for Thy divinely inspired Word. Help us to live by its precepts. Help us, Lord, that by Thy divine help and by Thy divine guidance,
that we would adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Lord, bless each one that is here this morning. Bless the youngest little child to the oldest person here and all in between. Oh Lord, we pray that whether it been by the singing of hymns, Sunday school, or the teaching of Thy Word, that each need would have been met today. And we thank You for the work of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray for Thy children the world over, that You would meet each one's particular need. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.